It's truly a blessing to be here this morning. I am thankful to be able to come out to the house of the Lord this morning and worship. And I trust we've all this morning prepared ourselves to come in and worship God. And if we do that, the Lord's good. He'll bless us, I think, and bless us to be fed in a spiritual way. And we hope that you'll be in prayer for me for a few minutes, the few minutes that we're before you. Have a thought, or a thought came into my mind, and Brother Sam was preaching. I want to try to present that to you this morning. This gospel is a blessed thing. It's a blessed thing. For a little child of God that's been born again and been given faith. And you know, that faith is a wonderful thing. A child of God that's been born again has a capability to see things that a natural man can't see. He has a capability to think in ways that a natural man can't think. He has a capability to experience things that a natural man can't experience. And we're talking about the spiritual nature that's inside us. You know, I think back to a great man of faith, Abraham. You remember chapter 15, where Abraham went into that trance? And it was daytime, brother. And Abraham was able, the Lord told him to look up into the skies and see the stars of heaven. Now, how do you do that in a natural way? You can't, in the broad daylight, you can't do that. But he was able to see things that we can't see naturally. You know, in Romans, it tells us in Romans chapter 10, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This faith that we have when we hear the gospel and we're transported out of this world, in some cases, you ever sat in a gospel meeting and you just been carried, you're off your seats, you're in a spiritual realm. And you see things that you cannot see naturally. And we don't see a lot during our lives because we don't walk in that spiritual way a lot of times in our life. But when we come and by faith, we hear the gospel. It says, faith cometh. I believe the faith inside us is manifest or comes forth when we hear about what Jesus Christ has done for me. Amen. That is a blessing for a child of God to see it, to hear it, to understand it. Amen. And I'm blessed this morning to be amongst the people that believe the doctrines of grace and the things that we believe. And one of the things that God tells us in His Word in 1 Timothy in chapter 6, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, that's an interesting verse. We're going to be mindful of the time. But you could talk for quite, you could preach for quite a while just on that verse. That's what's on my mind. And there's two things that are concerning that. Godliness and contentment. You got to understand the first one before you can really get to the contentment part. Now, I want to, in a very hopefully concise way, I want to talk a little bit about godliness. What is godliness? You know, when we think about God, what do you think about God? One of the first things that comes to my mind is His attributes. Omnipresence. You know, He's everywhere present, nowhere absent. We know, I also think about His omnipotence. All powerful, as Brother Sam presented to us, He spoke this world into existence. That is something. That's a mystery. That's what it's called in Timothy, the mystery of godliness. We, in His Word, are to be godly, or to be like God. But we can't exhibit the same attributes he did as far as omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience. We don't know all things. But you know, there are some things that God calls on us to do. He calls on us to love one another. That's what you can't do in a natural state. And the reason you're able to do that is because the Spirit of God dwells in you. And it's not you at all. It's Christ in you that makes you love one another. And when you understand that, you see that, you see your brothers and sisters in a different light. You see the love of the church. You know, it also says in Luke that we're supposed to be merciful to one another. Now, I don't know about you, but I live out in that world out there, and there's not a whole lot of folks out there showing me mercy when I make mistakes. They show me wrath. But I want mercy. See, I don't want what I deserve. And when God's people see that you've been the ultimate recipient of mercy, it makes you respond in a certain way, I believe, in which the faith inside us comes forth and is manifest in our lives to produce fruit. And it's through believing. You know, that believing is a powerful word, isn't it? Belief is powerful. You know, when I hear people say believe today, you know, when I hear it in a statement like, you ask them a question, I believe so. Well, that doesn't mean they know so. That means they think so. But you know, a child of God knows the love of God. You know why he knows that? God taught him that himself. He teaches you those things. He doesn't need anybody else. Doesn't need a preacher to teach you that. He teaches you those things to know him. There's some things that God does. Now, when we're born again, we don't have it all. This book is for us, the Word of God. And it is a blessing to understand and have those things revealed unto us. And I said revealed. Now, you can't be a man in a natural state, read these words, and get any spiritual blessings from it. You've got to be walking. You've got to be controlled by the Spirit of God to be able to do that. Now, the verse that I want to go to is Titus. It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. So godliness is something we, in our lives, godliness, if godly is to be like God, godliness is us living in a state in which we are like God. Or exhibiting those fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And you know what? You know what the Bible says about that? It says in Romans chapter 5, this is what it says. It says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? When you walk in a way, and you have that faith inside you that's been manifest in a way that you believe. And that word believe means to hold dearly. To hold dearly. To swear allegiance to it. And that swearing allegiance is no matter what bodily harm might come unto you, you swear you're allegiance unto your God. Did the Apostle Paul? Through many whips and beatings he did. And I fall so short in my life, I believe, sometimes. If we'll all admit it, we all understand how we come short of that. But the Bible says that when we believe, oh, there's a blessing in our life. There's a blessing. And I believe through faith and believing that godliness that's under consideration here, and acknowledging the truth. Well, you know, I believe this truth that's probably under consideration here. You know, the truth of the gospel in which we believe. And it's talked about in 1 Timothy, I believe, in chapter 3. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, I want to tell you, I work with a lot of folks, and that one part right there, you just can't get any further with some folks. But see, they have not the capability to understand that. All men have not faith. They can't understand that. But those that do, it has an impact on their life through the faith that's manifest, through the belief that we have. It's manifested in their life, and it's called godliness in God's Word. Godliness. And it says He was seen of angels. And when you think about Jesus Christ's life, He was born into this world, and angels were singing. When He was at, the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord sent an angel to succor Him. At His tomb, angels were there. And when He ascended into heaven, angels accompanied Him. Now, brethren, for us, we have that gift of faith. We're able to believe those type of things. It's such a blessing in our lives. When we hold on to them and we believe in them, it's such a blessing in our lives. It brings great, great peace to a child of God who is sojourning in a world that's not his home. And it gives us a desire one day, a longing to be with Him in glory. You know, when we go back to that verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Did it just say gain? It said great gain. That's the difference. Great gain. You know, I think about contentment and the word satisfaction. They're different. You know, satisfaction means that I'm filled. When you're satisfied, you don't want any more. Now, you think about your life today and the things that you do. Let's just talk about the one obvious thing we do. We can go to a restaurant that's all you can eat, and we can fill up, and we can truly be satisfied, but only last, what? One night. One night. If you think about anything in this world, can we truly be satisfied with anything? I think not. But you know, there are two things that we can be satisfied in. You know, I believe, the first one, I believe, we can go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11. It says, "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Jesus Christ, when he finished the work on the cross, was satisfied. Not only Jesus Christ, but God was satisfied. And you know what? What God and Jesus is satisfied with, you can be satisfied with. And you can rest in it. Hebrews chapter 4 says there's a rest for us. And when you believe that, it's a beautiful rest. But Hebrews also says we got to labor. We have to labor in this kingdom. We do. It's a labor. You know, this belief we talk about, there's work to that. It's a spiritual work. It's something that only somebody can be born again. But you have to work at it. You do. You have to crucify the flesh. The Spirit of God has to be in control. That's one of them. But in Psalms, it says, "Blessed is a man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple." The other thing we can be satisfied with is the Lord's church. He set it up and He did it just right. You know what? There's blessings in doing what He says. Not only is there, we can be satisfied in that, there's contentment in our lives. You know what contentment is being able to see what God has blessed you with as being sufficient. no matter what it is. The Apostle Paul says it's a learned. It's learned in our lives. It's not easy. It's part of that labor, I believe, in Hebrews chapter 4, that we got to labor to enter in. That's part of it. And it is a blessing in our lives. But that verse in 1 Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, I came here this morning, and I came this morning with all intentions on worshiping God and tried to prepare myself for that. I had no inkling that I would actually be called on to preach, and I pray the Lord would bless us this morning. And I feel like, you know, sometimes when you preach certain subjects, you know, you would come to the house of God, first of all, to worship. Second of all, if we come in the true mind that we should to worship, we're fed. Do you know what I've experienced during preaching sometimes? When I least expect it, sometimes I'm called on. And I try to prepare myself, and the Lord blesses. Sometimes when I speak, I'm even fed preaching. And that's a blessing. And when I speak about that subject of godliness and contentment in my life, if I can truly see what God has for us to see. And I think that's what this godliness is an ability to see the things the way God sees them. The way our lives should look to Him. That's the way our minds and our thoughts and our nature should be toward. I do thank you for the opportunity to speak before this morning. I don't want to take up too much time. I think we're to the half-hour mark. Don't know when we started, but I have enjoyed being here this morning. May God bless the rest of the meeting.